You know what your name is a palindrome of?
What?
Gardener.
You do not know what a palindrome is.
Oh, I think you mean anagram.
You mean anagram?
I don't. A-R-D-N-E-H. Ardner.
Ardner. Oh, you. Oh, he means like sonically. It sounds like a palindrome.
Yeah, it doesn't. It's not fucking spelled.
But that's
the
not.
Same.
That's fundamentally not what a palindrome is. A palindrome is all about spelling.
Face of palindrome.
I just want the listeners to know that Jack literally just grabbed a piece of paper to see whether to write down to verify his hypothesis that my name Hendra, H-E-N-D-R-A, is a palindrome.
Of
a palindrome is what, Jack?
It's a word
that is spelled
the same
front
to back
words.
I like how Jack tried to lead that joke on by saying, and it's a palindrome of. You fucking
it's
moron.
Neither a palindrome nor an anagram.
Do
you know where the word palindrome comes from?
I don't care.
Great. Thank you.
I was really looking forward to finding out.
You're a nerd then.
Yeah.
Sebastian, seriously, go ahead. Please tell us what palindrome means.
Okay, so palindrome comes from
Hello and welcome to this fresh episode of Butterflies on the Wheel. I don't know why it's fresh.
Stick to the script. Right.
Start over and stick to the fucking script and get it done.
Well, life's array of unsung bastards are finally held accountable for their actions. This week, two of us will present a real-life person they've encountered who has been guilty of some form of mild shithousery. As this week's judge, I will decide who's presented the most convincing case, and the winner will have the right to compete again in next week's podcast. The offences we report here are all the more criminal because they're not recognised as crimes. But that stops with us. My name is Raghu Keshavan. I'm joined by two experts in the field of bitching and moaning. Jack, I've got your names wrong.
Jack
I was
going to
say Jack Gendra.
Gendra.
Now, Gendra is a palindrome of Hendra.
Just because we're white doesn't mean that we all look the same.
You do. Jack Gardner and Sebastian Hendra.
Hey, girl.
Shut up.
Hey, I've got some actual fucking news. You know this bit where we do this middle bit where, like, Sebastian goes, I got some news. I've got a job now. And everyone's like, oh, cool, Sebastian.
Am I Bruno from the movie Bruno?
I've got some atomic...
That's actually... Do it again. Do your Bruno voice.
It's not my Bruno voice. It's my Bash voice. Well, there's two voices that I got for Bash. One is...
That's when I wake up in the morning and my vocal cords haven't realigned.
What a lovely day! Oh, God.
And the other one is, yeah, like, Bash. That's what I'm doing.
I am Bash. That's, like, who I am.
I guess I'm just Bash.
British like people can only do, like, two versions of American accents. They can only do, like...
Oh, well, one of them is a hipster German guy.
Like, no, they can only do... That's me. They can only do, like, Valley Girl, like, oh, my God, blah, blah, blah. Or they can do, like, a really garbled, like, Southern accent, sort of, that they think is Southern but actually belongs to no state.
I feel like those are the only two accents you can do.
Hey. Don't reveal the magician's tricks. Jack, your news. What was your news?
I'm getting married.
Oh, that is
news. That is news to all of us.
I just thought, you know, you can never be too early to make massive life decisions.
We've never seen her still.
She goes to a different school.
She's been on this podcast.
Oh, that was her?
Yeah.
She didn't seem that into you.
The rules are simple. No more than 3 minutes for opening arguments. This we never follow that rule.
No, we've never once followed that rule. It's so fucking bullshit. Keep it in.
Do the crime must be trivial. Leave Michael Jackson. Oh, Jesus. Leave Michael Jackson to the actual courts and the big guy upstairs or downstairs, hopefully.
Yeah.
And three, the punishment must fit the crime. This week's podcast is sponsored by...
Refreshers. The Sweets Refreshers.
And a really big bottle of Lucozade.
Huge bottle. I'm gonna be
so is this how sponsorship works for you? You buy their products and then they give us nothing?
I mean, isn't that how it works for everyone?
Yeah. For most failed podcasts.
I don't see any problem with that.
We've got to flip a coin of some...
Flip a Refreshers! Oh my
flip
gosh,
a Refreshers.
I call because I won, so I'm going to go Refreshers side up.
Refreshers
are down.
You got
far. I go first. I want to take the listeners back far into the mists of time where the stench of trivial criminality somehow always lingers. The time, 3 years ago, the setting, Spain, or España for our Spanish listeners, or Spain for our white listeners who claim they speak Spanish on LinkedIn. The suspect, my father, The crime. Well, let's just fucking see, shall we?
Wait, are you putting your dad on the podcast?
Now, as usual, I will begin with a defense of my character. The listeners may remember, I am not only a deeply devout Catholic, raised by a father who wanted to be a monk and a mother who came from an Irish-Italian spider family of 14 children, but I am also a gay. Yes, ladies, you heard it here. I'm sorry to disappoint you all, but I am, in fact, gay. I have been ever since I was 7 years old and went on my first gay porn site with my friend in second grade at his house when his mom wasn't home. I'm pretty sure the theme was military.
You're getting emotional just talking about it.
Anyway, what does this have to do with my character? Well, I have always been a bit secretive. Catholic, gay, and liberal. It was hard to believe anyone would ever accept me. So I hid myself and I hid myself until finally I bravely came out to my parents when I was 16, blind drunk, and stumbling home at 4 a.m. Suddenly, all the secrets melted away. There I was, 16, gay, addicted to marijuana, overweight, and ready to share myself with the world. It was a confusing time for us all. And my family was especially confused. It took them a hot second to figure out how to deal with me. Especially my 900-year-old father, who, despite living through the sexual revolution of the 60s, came of age in a different era for queers. For one, an era in which queers were still called queers, and not in a nice way. So mentalities only evolve so much, and I've always had to be aware of this. But I didn't know to what extent until we set off 3 years ago on a holy pilgrimage, father and son, cycling the ancient Camino to reach Santiago de Compostela, a major pilgrim hotspot since like the 1400s when my dad was 10. The pilgrimage is going pretty well up to this point. We're in day 3. We've just cycled 80 kilometers on that day. We had been over a huge mountain. There were actual tears cried on the journey. We're both exhausted by the time we get to the medieval town of Burgos. We go out for our first tapas of the evening, have a beer, and some vile chorizo, before deciding to Google where the locals eat. I'm an expert at this. I quickly find a fabulous place. My father, Tony, is relieved at the sight and sound of, quote, real Spanish people, unquote, in the restaurant. So we go in and we stand at the bar. We're ordering wines. We're yelling for different tapas. We're just fitting in like two cool Spanish cats. And after about 2 glasses of cava and a red wine, Tony's feeling himself. He's feeling confident. So he says to me, why don't we stay for dinner? Pointing at the empty area with empty chairs and tables. So I go to ask the head waiter if we can grab a table. Now it's around 7 p.m., which in Spain is not dinner time. As you may or may not know, the Spanish eat very late, often not until 10 p.m. Then they wake up late the next morning, take a nap in the middle of the day because it's too hot. Their economy is thriving, of course.
Civilized culture.
So I ask the waiter in my high school Spanish if we can grab a table for two. He gives me the usual snobbery and ends up saying, no, we don't have room, while I'm pointing to the literally tens of empty tables and sets of empty chairs. Whatever, you know, get over it. Thanks anyway. I walk back to bear Tony the devastating news. Now, my father likes to get his way, but his reaction was surprising, even for an impatient 900-year-old. What drivel, he exclaims. Nonsense! He then starts to retreat and sort of simmer in his anger. Meanwhile, I'm just looking around for hot Spanish guys and slamming sausage down my throat. Suddenly, Tony looks up from his sulking. You know what it is, he says to me. I bet he thinks we're a couple. He doesn't want to serve two gay guys. Now, setting aside the hilarious joke that me, a live blonde bombshell of 24, and my father, a withering 900-year-old lizard, would ever be a couple, I quickly realized a seriously trivial crime was being committed here. Dad, I say, he absolutely does not think that. He's just being a dick. He doesn't think you're gay. Yeah, well, I bet he's assumed. And why is that, Dad? Now, Tony looks uncomfortable for a moment. Well, never mind. Let's go somewhere else. So clearly, my dad is implying that I'm such a mincing fairy that the waiter has clocked my homosexuality and is assuming that Tony must also be tainted. Because I'm a good son, I internalize this trauma. But before the court and in the presence of this most serious and real judge, Raghu Kartavan, I condemn my father for implying that I was so gay that everyone must also think he was gay, and also for dreaming that he could ever punch at my weight. Judge, jury, thank you very much.
Okay.
I love the gay by association. Just like
the second part of that is accurate. I mean, like, there is an age difference between you and your dad.
There is a centuries difference. There are literally centuries between us.
But that first bit, he's spot on. I've been in a situation with you where I've been out and people have thought that we're together because I, you know, throw off gay vibes as well. Like,
right. So you already made my point for me. That has nothing to do with me in your case because you are a knobbly kneed, limp wristed homosexual wannabe in your own right. That has nothing to do with me. But you're flamboyantly dressed. You think you're Morrissey. You just have always wanted to sample the gay life. I know you have, Jack.
Yeah, it's true.
When I saw you across the bar, yeah. That first time, I thought, oh, he's kind of cute. Maybe, I'm sure he's gay. That's how we started.
Yeah, it's true.
I feel like you do that with everyone.
And then I made out with Ragu.
No, you are
a weapon.
Gay enough to gay right. An entire room.
Absolute weapon.
Oh my God, thank you.
That is a, that's
I'm,
a compliment.
I'm serious. But like, without being so in your face, like, I went out the other day with someone who was dressed as a gay guy who was dressed as a
as a gay guy.
He was dressed as a gay guy. I went out with someone the other day who was dressed as a sort of hentai princess. He had like a mustache which was bleach blonde and was sort of like wearing like skirt, bare legs. And we were going to like the theater.
This sounds pretty hot, honestly.
You're not that, but you're not a million not miles away.
You have to dress up as a hentai princess at this point.
I mean, it's not Saturday. No, I get that. Like, I understand that I just give off these powerful pheromones of gay virility. But the real crime here is co-opting my experience as a gay man, as a gay white privileged man who suffers, I don't know, once every 10 years for his gayness.
And it's usually self-inflicted.
Co-opted. Usually because I'm in my hentai getup and I'm assaulting someone on the street. But what Tony, my lizard father, did was co-opt my experience as a gay man. And because I'm so white and privileged, it's not a real crime. It's a trivial crime.
Mm. All right, I'll accept it. I will accept your petition.
But what are your thoughts on it?
What are my thoughts? Well, I have notes. I made notes because you handed me a piece of paper and a pencil. I've never done this before. You get plus points for the callback. I love the accent stuff. You get plus points for the dad aid jokes. Oh, I've also written down here, this is so long, negative.
It's good to know where I stand early on.
You get
on.
Points for drivel, slamming sausage, mincing homosexuality, and condemn my father. I like that at the end because it's sort of got like a Grecian sort of aspect to it.
Yeah, medieval. I feel like,
do you think that the waiter actually did... And I want you to answer this in 100 words or few.
I'm sorry I have a flair for language, okay? I'm sorry I have a bit of a vocabulary that I'd like to share with the world and like my listeners, my fans.
I like how you tried to say vocabulary with a French accent and then gave up.
I was
going to
say vocabulary. Yeah. But
look, did the waiter not serve you because of your gay?
I don't think so, because I don't think he saw me sucking that guy off in the corner until later. No, I like my dad and I, everyone would assume that I am my father's son before they would assume that I am his gigolo. It's insane to me. The other thing is I was dressed very conservatively. I mean, you know that I am a very fashionable, flamboyant model of style. But when you're cycling, you know, 750 kilometers through northern Spain, you can't pack the whole wardrobe. So I was wearing like really boring, you know, well, beautiful linen shirt, obviously, but really simple, you know, nothing to suggest. There's not, and I don't like walk around like with the limp wrists and everything.
So why didn't he serve
I'm
you?
Aware that I'm over 100
You're
words.
So far! Oh,
Mr. Jack Gardner, can we have yours?
Howdy. My story this week revolves around my experience at a music concert, which therefore in my mind qualifies me as an actual music critic, which is something I'm very happy about, as I've long felt that my personal interpretation of the culture around me has warranted financial payment, such as the tangible quality of my thoughts. Indeed, monetary gain was the primary reason I was keen to create this podcast with you both, in a decision that has backfired about as spectacularly as the decision made in 1888 by one Alois Hitler to trust in the effectiveness of the pull-out method.
I mean, we're only like minus £200 in the red. Like, yeah. I don't think it compares.
Myself,
like invading Poland.
Myself and my current fiancée, Rebecca, were in Brooklyn, New York, a town named after David Beckham's firstborn. Child. The worst joke ever. Moving swiftly on. We had booked tickets for a gig to the Buttertones. Now, despite sounding like a makeup range for morbidly obese women, the Buttertones are actually a rock band from LA. I'd listened to two of their albums, I'd liked one of their songs, and no one else was playing in the 10 days we were there. Apparently, New York isn't that big of a market for musicians. Sebastian, have a word.
No comment.
But look, we were really buzzed to be there. We were really excited to see live music, and the venue was a really cool one. It was in the back of a record store, like New York vibes and stuff, whatever. The opening band were wicked. They were like a really cool sort of like good rock band, and they were got the crowd involved and everyone was dancing, create a really good buzz in the crowd. See you later, good night, enjoy the Buttertones, yeah, fuck yeah, woo. And then the place is absolutely full, chatting live, everything. Wait 10 minutes, Buttertones come on one by one, but not in like an orchestrated way. Like the drummer comes on, fiddles with the drum set, another guy comes on, every time the crowd does it goes woo. Then the next time someone comes on, a little bit less of a woo. And then the singer comes on eventually. Yeah, cool. The singer goes, hey, we're the Buttertones. Everyone goes, yeah, cool, right, back into it. And then they do 5 minutes of nothing. They play a song without any lyrics at all. And it's just like a really slow, like, boom, boom, boom. And they each take it in turns to like do like this really unpracticed noodle, like this sort of like riff, and there's deadness in the crowd, like no one gives a fuck. At the end of 4 or 5 minutes, a slightly bemused crowd is sort of like half of clapping, and the lead singer comes up to the microphone and goes, sometimes we just like to jam.
Oh,
holy fuck,
my god. Yeah. That caught me by surprise, sorry.
You like to jam, do
I'm
you?
Clutching my pearls, yeah.
Well, you know who else likes to jam? Literally no one in the fucking history of whenever, you self-obsessed, fucking pretentious oxygen thief. You like to jam. Your head must be so far up your own ass that you can lick your small intestine. You like to jam. Well, here's something I don't like to do, you insufferable piss trumpet. Spend money. But when I do have to spend money, what I expect is something in return. Goods, services, you know, that kind of thing. Not to have watched someone practice. I can't sing along to a wanking noodle. Is this jazz? Seriously, mate, have a look at yourself. Are you jazz? No. No, you are not jazz. So wind your neck in. Stay in your lane. Honestly, and I've genuinely thought about this. I would have preferred if he had deliberately vomited on me. It would have made for a more genuine and more enjoyable live experience, and I'd have had something more to take home than a shitty memory. This piece of shit, who defecated from a great height on the history of rock, a genre they were supposedly representing, is everything that is wrong with the world today. I rest my case.
I love when he goes in on this. Yeah. It's such a ride, you know?
I really like piss trumpet.
I wrote down some phrases. Ingenuinable, I think is a word that you just coined, combining genuine and enjoyment. Oxygen thief is also stands out at me.
I've got that. I've got oxygen thief.
Guys, the content?
Oh, not interesting at all.
I've also got down also long.
After 3 minutes, do you just tune out? You just go.
First of all, the crime is atrocious.
Oh, it's disgusting. Are they allowed to do that? Are they allowed to just rock up and just not play
any
songs?
They went into their other songs.
Who knows what any Buttertones song is anyway?
Exactly.
Why are they called Buttertones?
You'd have to ask them.
It sounds like a sort of bad chocolate. Yeah. Like you know, like I don't like the coconut flavor on Bounty. Buttertones would be like Bounty except worse. Yeah. And there'd be like several flavors, all of which would be shit.
There'd be the one that's always left behind in the celebrations.
Yeah, exactly.
I admire your sort of narcissism as a music concert attendee, mm-hmm. Believing that they are only there for you.
Well, I paid.
Yeah, you paid, but like, what'd you pay to see the Buttertones? Like,
yeah, I know, it's a mistake. And $10. We walked out, Rebecca and I walked out, we were both just absolutely, we were looking at each other like, what is actually happening here?
You should have thrown something at them.
Well, that would have been the good old days. We just walked out. We really enjoyed
the good old days. You're 24.
No, but like the good old days where you could actually like bottle someone.
Like that guy who like chucked a shoe at George Bush.
Yeah, or that guy who assassinated John F. Kennedy.
What? No, he didn't throw anything.
He threw bullets.
Thank you for your contribution. I have to say that is one of the better stories that I've ever heard. So
I'm middle fingering Sebastian metaphorically.
What the fuck? Mine was so much better than that. I'm gay. God. I'm a minority. He's the problem.
He's the problem.
He's the enemy.
Right, shut the fuck up.
Yes, Judge.
Can we hear some fucking punishments, please?
So the next time he goes into a restaurant, I want the staff to sort of look at him funny and start talking amongst themselves. He sits down, he prepares to order. But when he looks up from the menu, the manager is standing over him. And it's like a really burly, mustachioed...
Is he red? In my head,
hulking,
he's like quite like pink.
Like really thick-muscled man with ruddy cheeks and his arms folded across his chest.
I like it.
And he just looks straight at my father square in his eyes and says, "Sir, we don't serve your kind in this establishment."
Does he specify what kind?
Yeah.
Or does he just leave it hanging?
Doesn't matter.
Oh.
He just has to know.
I like that.
He just has to know that he's been pegged. Like that, been pegged and not in the fun anal way.
Didn't even know what that is.
You know what pegging is?
I took the money from daddydick.com. I did not explore their goods and services.
It's familydick.com.
A mistake.
Familydick.com is so much worse.
Why did you go there?
I didn't. It's like an ad on gay porn websites.
Also, what was your military website called?
Oh my god, it closed down a long time ago.
It's one of the first websites.
This is been like 20 years. But I do distinctly remember a guy with his dick out, like in military boots, standing like with one leg on the truck.
Sounds like an artistic masterpiece.
It sounds like he's really taking Don't Ask, Don't Tell to its limits.
He told. He done told.
He done told. Okay, that was excellent. Jack.
So I thought about cutting their hands off, but that would actually be a reward, saving him from himself. And as with your Sebastian's punishment of an innocent homeless man, I want him to achieve astronomical success really, really quickly. One song that he writes is like the track of the year, a one-hit wonder. He gets booked for the inauguration of the next president. Because their success has insulated them from any kind of vital negative reinforcement in allowing their inherent twatishness to blossom like a shit plant, they pull the same fucking stunt. And the lead singer stands up to the mic and goes, "Sometimes we just like to jam." Their act instantly goes viral, ridiculed night and day on every talk show, every daily show. They become an instant meme. They break up incredibly acrimoniously. But the word buttertones, it becomes the most upvoted word on Urban Dictionary, synonymous with vapid pretentiousness.
Interesting. I will have to deliberate. But I've got notes are good, but they've now made things very difficult because I can actually remember what you guys said. Usually I just make it up as I go along.
No, I like this sort of tallied system. It seems fair.
Yeah, I've got 3 points for each of you.
Ragu as a judge is very much more like, he's very kind of like, I like this, I like that, I like that, which is good. I mean, it's a little bit smoke blowy up arsey, but I can get on board with that.
Well, I mean, yeah.
Ragu, I love your method.
I really love your method.
And I respect your decision.
What I meant to say beforehand
keep
was that
keep the smoke coming,
it.
Boys. I liked the ruddy cheeks. I like that you took my feedback on board immediately. I like the fact that the punishment was mysterious as fuck. As in, I have no idea what that guy has your dad pegged as, but it's great that he doesn't want him to know.
We don't like lizards, kind of.
I genuinely... Because can you imagine it? When you walk out of that restaurant having not been served, you feel like shit because you're humiliated. But you have no idea why. It's like objectless humiliation. Like, what? Something is defective about you, but you can't even fix it because you don't know what it is.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it.
I know how to spin them.
And it was short, which is good. I like yours because you had an inauguration, and I'm just trying to picture the next president of America who might be a lizard person. Like, I don't know.
It must be Rihanna. She's out of her goddamn mind.
There'd be quite an inquest given that she's Barbados, Nate. They're born.
Oh, shit. But isn't that a U.S.? That's a U.S. Virgin Island, isn't it?
It is not.
I mean, but they can just invade.
You are colonialism.
No, I was just going to say that they can just invade Barbados.
Yeah.
It's a technicality. We don't do technicalities.
Should be fine.
I like the shit plant.
Thank you.
I like imagining like a plant that actually yields fruit, but the fruit is shit. I feel like the candy bars that are buttertones could grow off of a plant. Like,
nice. And turn into shit.
And turn into shit while ripe. Yeah, those are all my notes. I'm going to give it two. It's actually tough. I actually have to make a fucking decision here. Fuck's sake. I'm going to give it to Sebastian.
Why?
Because his punishment just edges it. I feel like your stories were like level pegging. The theme for this is going to be pegging.
Okay, my story was funnier, but yeah.
You were both pegged pretty high.
Like, look at me in the eyes when you're pegging me, Raghu.
So how, I know that this is all sort of our own invention and I'm aware of this, but is there, have we come up with a court of appeals, like an appeals circuit?
Yeah, you can appeal to me.
Okay.
Denied. That's all for this week. Thank you for listening. Please review us. 5 stars on iTunes would be hugely appreciated by us all, and it really helps us grow and find new listeners. Write into us with your own trivial crimes at butterfliespodcast@gmail.com. Not trivial crimes you've committed, but been victims of. We don't want to know about your dirty shit. Subscribe to our social media. Our Instagram is butterfliespodcast, and our Twitter is @butterfliespod. Bye!
Instead, as with Sebastian's punishment of an innocent homeless man, Sebastian, I'm sorry, I just got Sebastian in my eyes, just looking at your own reflection in a mirror, preening yourself and putting a face while I'm doing my story, you fuck. Like, not even one, like, oh, now how would it look this way?
I can multitask.